Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Today is Parsha Shmini. It's Tavshin Ayin Aleph, 5771. And I was not here in our last class, which I understand was impressively delivered by my colleague, Rabbi Michal Friedman. And I'm still planning to listen to the CD. But I did not get to present for Parsha of Tzav, and I'm going to make just a little mention of it, and then move on to this week's Parsha Shmini. So welcome, everybody, to Parsha Shmini, 5771. And we have to bear in mind that we are on the road of basics, and to us, I'm going to try to stick to my notes this time. I usually start to, and then I forget about them, and I just ramble. But this time, there's so much to kind of pull into focus, I think. So if you bear with me here, I'm not going to read my notes, but I'm going to try to follow them more carefully. To us, on a basic level, the book of Vayikra is the book of mitzvahs, of commandments. It is called the Torah Kohanim, the law of the priests, which we have established is not merely the sons of Aaron type priests, but it is the entire Jewish people who are a kingdom of priests, Mamleches Kohanim, as referred to by Hashem in the Parsha of Yisrael, before he gave us the Torah. And the law of the priests refers to our laws, the laws of the Torah and the mitzvos. So, before we got to the book of Vayikra, we were being exposed to such basics as the existence of God and man, the purpose of God's creation of the world, the vitality of there being one nation, the Jewish nation, from among the others, that would help fulfill, will singularly fulfill this purpose. All various aspects of the relationship between God and this nation. And all of that was set up for us. The communications between God and man. All of that was set up for us in the previous books of Bereishis and Shemos. But then it's down to work. We have our setting. We have our setting in time, and we have our setting in space. Now, let's get down to work. That is the purpose of Vayikra. Get down to work. The work is the mitzvos. That's how we fulfill this purpose. Fulfillment of the mitzvos of the Torah. So, Vayikra was the first installment, if you will, of mitzvos. They were completely and solely mitzvos of korbanos, of offerings. And what I'd like to say about the Parsha of Tzav is also all about offerings. The Parsha of Tzav is about the very same offerings that were introduced in Parsha's Vayikra. What then is the difference between the mitzvos of the offerings in Vayikra and the mitzvos of the offerings of Tzav? Ready for a very simple and brilliant answer? Vayikra are the mitzvos, Tzav are the halachos of those mitzvos. I will. It is brilliant in its simplicity. In Parshas Vayikra, Hashem says, I'm going to teach you about the mitzvos of the offerings. There is an offering called a burnt offering, an ola. There is an offering called a mincha, a meal offering. There is an offering called a shlamim, a peace offering. There is an offering called a chatas, a sin offering, and an asham, and a guilt offering. In Parsha Tzav, he says, this is the place where you are to slaughter the burnt offering. This is the place where you are to slaughter the peace offering, etc. These are the numbers of days in which the peace offering may be eaten. You may only eat them for 2 days and one night. At the end of that period, whatever is left over must be burnt. If you have the wrong thoughts, the wrong intentions about that offering, the offering is invalid and it must be burnt. In other words, these are the halachos. These are the laws. Every mitzvah comes with replete with a digest of laws provided by the oral Torah. You know, it says, you can take that with every mitzvah. It says in the Shema, you shall affix tefillin on your arms and frontlets between your eyes. It doesn't even say it in that many words. It doesn't even use the word tefillin. It just says, put them, bind them as a sign on your arm and as frontlets between your eyes. It doesn't say anything about how that's done. That's all in the halachas. That's all in the laws. The laws is for the most part furnished by the oral. So you see, you can't have mitzvahs without laws. Just like you can't have a country. You know, we can have a constitution, which kind of spell out in a list form, these are the tenets of our country, but you must have volumes upon volumes of legal code, which fleshes it out in all of its detail. And unless you have instructions, you cannot practically fulfill any of those laws. Same thing with Torah. So I believe that this is what the Parsha of Vayikra and the Parsha of Tzav is teaching us, that there are mitzvos introduced in Vayikra, and then there are halachos, which explain the mitzvos and break it down. And mind you, without halachos, you don't have mitzvos. If you're going to have a Jew that's going to say, sure, I follow the commandments, I do not murder, and I eat kosher, and I pray, but there is no companion of laws to those mitzvahs aren't being fulfilled. If they are, it's just a guess. It is probably a far cry from the way that those mitzvahs must be performed. And if you think about it, if we're not submitting ourselves to those particular laws of the halachos, we're not really submitting ourselves to the service of God and to doing things according to His will. If we're just making it up. If we make up the rules, we are not submitting ourselves to the service of God. So to me, that is all I'm going to say about Vayikra and Tzav. On the base, this is basics, basics, basics. Mitzvos are the basics, how-to of Judaism. It's how we accomplish our purpose. Halachos is the specific instructions for those mitzvos. Now, it's bothersome that our wonderful book of Vayikra deals with mitzvos that we don't do. It's very bothersome. We made the point that karbanos are like the primary mitzvos. They're the ultimate of mitzvos because we get really involved in it, and it's time-consuming and it's expensive and you get our hands dirty. It's bothersome that this central book of the Torah spends 2.5 parshas dealing with mitzvahs that we've never even heard of. It's very bothersome. And I think the reason is because there's different kinds of mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs that have to do with the Kodesh, the holy realm. And there are mitzvahs that have to do with the Chol, with the mundane realm. Parsha Shmini, our Parsha is the bridge between the Kodesh and the Chol mitzvahs. Shemini opens up with more karbanos, more offerings in the temple, kohenes, kohenet. And what happens at the end of the parsha of Shemini, the second half? These are the animals that you may eat, these are the animals that you may not eat. That's mitzvos of food. The most mundane. You see it? There's Kodesh mitzvos and there's Chol mitzvos. There's mitzvos related to the holy realm, service in the temple, and there are mitzvos that are related to the kitchen and the Jewish restaurant and the Jewish nightclub and the catering hall. Mitzvos are for both realms. This world is a world of holiness and mundane. And our mitzvos are on all levels. And I think that that's, we started to classify mitzvos a little bit in Vayikra. I think this is a wonderful point of classification and differentiation. Mitzvos of Kodesh and mitzvos of Chol. Mitzvos how to act in the temple and mitzvos how to act in the kitchen. That's a basic point. The reason why we're not familiar with the Karbanos is because we are not living in the realm of the holy now. This is something that we have discovered several years ago in our travels together. There used to be a time when we had a temple. There was a time when the spirit, when the neshama, when the spiritual realm was right there in front of our eyes, when we heard God's communication through prophets, when we went daily to the temple, we were so aware of our neshama. Our greatest struggle was to channel our spiritual energies to the service of Hashem and not the service of idolatry, because we were living on the level of the spirit of the neshama. That was all taken away. Our temple was taken away. Our prophets were taken away. Our awareness of the divine was taken away. We no longer had to worry about Avodah Zarah because we no longer lived on that level. We're in the level of the mundane. We live in the level of the body, of the emotions, and of the intellect. And then there's a ceiling. Not a real ceiling, but an imaginary ceiling. It's not revealed anymore. And therefore, those mitzvos are not in our lexicon. We're not doing the mitzvos of the chol, of the kodesh. We're not bringing karbanos because we don't have a temple, because we don't have prophets, because we're not living on that level. So for us, of course, our experience of mitzvos are going to be primarily on the mitzvos of the chulin, of the ordinary. We're going to be concentrating on the mitzvos of kashrut. We are going to be concentrating on the mitzvos bein adam lechavero, between people, business law, civil law, etc. We're not going to be dealing with the mitzvos of the offerings. But that's all part and parcel of this general change of climate between the spiritual and the more mundane. So, back to mitzvos. So what are we hoping for in this state? Well, we must throw in another basic concept which is introduced in our parsha. In general, we can say that the purpose of our mitzvos, it's not just to check off a checklist. We've spoken about this many times. The purpose of the mitzvos to help us achieve the ultimate purpose of life, of creation, is to become what the Torah calls kedoshim, to become holy. The purpose of mitzvos is to become holy people. This is stated in the end of Shemini, in conjunction with the laws of the kashrut, of the eating laws. Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, v'hiskadishtem v'hisem kedoshim, ki kadosh ani. For I am Hashem your God, you shall sanctify yourselves. Sanctify, the translation of the word kodesh, and you will be holy, for I am holy. You see, even in the absence of the holy mitzvos, even the mundane mitzvos are to make us holy. It's just on a different lower level. We become holy when we bring offerings. We also become holy when we observe kashrut. We can become holy in the temple. We can also become holy in the kitchen. So the purpose never changed. We're still on course. We're just operating on our realm of holiness in matters closer to the body, closer to the mundane. But that still remains the purpose, Kedusha. In fact, Kedusha extends even beyond the mitzvos. We're not going to get into this a lot. But mitzvos is just the beginning. We become holy when we follow the prescribed instructions given by the Torah for interacting with the mundane, with this world. But really, it goes beyond that, because a Jew is taught to be a moderate, and a Jew is taught to have the right intentions and to have the right kavana, so that if a Jew goes to the kosher restaurant or the kosher bar and just acts like a glutton and a hedonist, he may be on one level holy because he's at least keeping the kosher laws, but he's not really acting in a holy way. He's trying to live a life of hedonism with a rabbinical seal on it. So you see that Kedusha is not just limited to the laws, it's also limited to the entire approach and the entire way that a person lives. And that's what I want to get to at the end of today, is to appreciate what it is that we're striving for with the mitzvos. What is that Kedusha? What is that holiness that the Torah is trying to create within us? Another word we might use is the word spirituality. Holiness, spirituality, in Hebrew, ruchaniyut, ruach, the spirit. But you see, that is dangerous, because everybody thinks they know how to be spiritual. And that's a lesson that we learn from the Parsha as well. We don't figure out how to become spiritual. Nadav and Avihu, the two great sons of Aaron, were being spiritual too. And they were being holy too. So they brought a fire offering that they were not commanded. And the result was death. So you see, we cannot just throw out the word and say Jews are supposed to be holy. Jews are supposed to be spiritual. No. Jews are supposed to observe the Torah. The mitzvos of Parshas Vayikra, the halachos of Parshas Tzav. But the purpose is Kedusha, is spirituality and holiness as prescribed by God. To make this case, I got an email today from a rabbi of the conservative movement. He's actually related to me. And he wrote a Dvar Torah about Kedusha and about spirituality. But I don't believe that he teaches that a Jew, well, he is talking about kashrut. But there's a disconnect between the concepts that we throw around and the observance. And we have to realize that it's a package deal. Once again, that's what our Chumash, that's what our Book of Vayikra is teaching us. There's mitzvos, there's halachos, and that builds and that creates real Kedusha as defined by Hashem in His Torah. So basically what this all boils down to is that which we have touched upon many times throughout our basics. Who we are. Who are we? We know who God is, or we think we know who God is. Who are we? And what are we here for? We have a body. We have emotions. We have an intellect. We have an neshama. We have a soul. The object of Kedusha is to utilize all of those. The challenge is that we are so much more aware of our bodies and our emotions than we are of the higher forms. The purpose of mitzvos is to become holy, is to build up the soul part, the intellect, once again, the intellect of Torah, becoming a scientist is a wonderful field, but it is not the prescription for Kedusha. It may be a tool for Kedusha, but Kedusha is only reached through Torah. So really, there's been so much written in recent times about the body and the soul, because we are living in a time that is so starved for soul food. Because we are bombarded by body and surface, and this is all we are, and it's only appearance, and it's only skin deep. So we are being forced in our time, more than any other time, to rediscover and reawaken the importance of spirituality. And as Torah Jews, we should not lose the forest for the trees and say, well, since we have to observe mitzvos, so let's just think about the mitzvos and let's just do them. And let's not think about what the goal is. Let's not think about Kedusha. Let's not think about spirituality. Let's just do the mitzvos. And that also lacks, because why the mitzvos? V'yis kadishtem v'yisem kadoshim. Be holy. So we must feed ourselves with the thoughts and the ideas of our Torah and our sages about what the goal here is. Yes, we must do it through mitzvos, and we must do it through halacha, but what is the product that is being created? I'd like to share with you just two different excerpts. Rabbi Twersky is a wonderful contemporary Torah teacher who has seen everything in the secular world. He has spent his life developing centers of rehabilitation for drug addicts. And he is a rabbi, a Hasidic rabbi, and a psychiatrist. And he sees the gamut, and he sees the gap between who we are and who we think we are. So I'd just like to read a little bit, and then I will close with just some of my own sentiments on the topic. This is a wonderful book. Rabbi Twersky is reaching 80, or he has reached 80, and he is writing an uncensored collection of stories of his life and of his thoughts. Gevura, My Life, Our World, and the Adventure of Reaching 80. Both Hasidic and Musar writings point out the polarity of body and soul. The soul is of divine origin. It craves to be close to its source in Hashem. However, the physical drives of the body are a formidable obstacle. The more one indulges the body, the more one distances the soul from closeness to Hashem. But what can we do? The physical drives are intense and very tangible, whereas the soul is an abstraction, a concept of belief. It seems that the odds are against us. And then he peppers this with some wonderful vignettes and stories of his ancestors. This was eloquently expressed by the Hasidic master, the Shpoler Zaidi, who said, "Master of the universe, you put the awesomeness of Gehinom." That's where we go if we don't do what we should do. In the Reishis Chachma, an ancient book of Musar. So you describe, there's this ancient book, Reishis Chachma, which if you read it, if you can decipher the language, you can get a little bit of a picture of what it's like in Gehinom. I never looked at it, I don't know. They say it's devils and pitchforks, but I don't believe that. So that's tucked away in a book of Musar. But you put the worldly pleasures right before our eyes. That we can see. Had you put the worldly pleasures in a book, and the awesomeness of Gehinom before our eyes, I assure you no one would sin. And that's a description of the odds against us. Because, as we said before, Rabbi Luzzatto says it in Path of the Just, we are born with the physical drives. They are nurtured from our infancy. Our mothers spoil us, especially our grandmothers. Our physical desires are with us from infancy on. One of our first pleasures is eating. A baby will put everything into its mouth, expecting to derive pleasure from it. As the baby matures, it develops the acquisitive desire and wants things for itself. Gimme, gimme, gimme. That's mine. A baby will not hesitate to take things away from another child. With age, the child develops the need for being loved and acknowledged. Kavod. Kavod. We have to be careful not to I don't even know what's the PC word now, scold, reprimand, punish, no, hit, no way. We have to be careful not to correct our child because they might get insulted. So, we do not acquire Yetzer Tov, good inclination, until the age of mitzvos, 13 for a boy, 12 for a girl. By that time, the Yetzer Hara has reinforced the physical tribes many times over. We're 13 years behind the ball, the eight ball. What chance do we have? And then he goes on to say that that's why he always listened to stories of tzaddikim, of righteous people. Many of them were his ancestors, and that gave him strength, and that gave him inspiration to rise above. But this is what the challenge of Kedusha is. We are so well aware of what we are on the body level. And on the emotional level, we're so ill aware of what we are on the intellectual and the spiritual, divine level. And Rabbi Twersky, picking up on Mesilas Yesharim, wrote some very nice words on this. And he starts with our concept of holiness. The Torah says, "You shall be holy because I, your God, am holy." He's really quoting 19:2, which is Kedoshim in a few weeks, but it's really the same idea in our Parsha. The Midrash comments, "You may think that you may be as holy as I," God says. Therefore, the Torah says, "No, my holiness is superior to yours. Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz asks, "How could anyone be so foolish as to even remotely consider the possibility that mortal man could be as holy as Almighty God?" Do you need a midrash to say, "You're not as holy as God"? Did I think I was? This is so absurd a thought that it is not even worth mentioning. And yet the midrash is teaching us that we must tell ourselves that. Rabbi Shmulevitz points out that the authors of the Talmud had a far greater grasp of the infinity of God than we do. And if they suggest that you may think that you may be as holy as I, it is because they also had a greater grasp of the enormous potential of man. Inasmuch as the essence of man is his neshama, which is an integral part of God himself, then man might conceivably think that he could be as holy as God. The only impediment to this accomplishment is that the neshama resides within a body whose needs and drives are non-spiritual. But if a person could succeed in essentially negating his physical self and living only the life of the neshama, that's totally theoretical now. We don't want to go and create our own notion of what holiness should be, only through the Torah. But if we could succeed, he might attain the holiness of God himself. It was therefore necessary for the Torah to specify that although man can emulate God in many ways, and indeed reach an extremely lofty level of holiness, he can never equal the holiness of God. How little we know of ourselves, writes Rabbi Twersky. Every one of us has the capacity to make our physical body nothing other than a temporary repository for the neshama, and a vehicle whereby the neshama can carry out the divine wish. We can put the many desires of the physical body beyond consideration. The body is not here primarily to be satisfied, neither is the emotions or the ego. We're not here to satisfy our egos. We're not here to be honored and coddled and given our every wish. That's not what we're here for, but rather to be maintained in order that it can function as an agent for the neshama. This is what Kedusha is. This is what holiness is. It's putting the neshama back on top. And that is the purpose of mitzvos. And we don't understand how it works. We can't duplicate it in our own way. And we only accomplish those mitzvos when we follow the halachos. But that is what happens to us. That is what happens to us when we live Torah. That's the purpose of it all, is to become holy, which means to put the neshama on top, the seichel, the intellect, second, the emotions and the body, back in perspective. They will enable the person to fulfill, because we have to live in a physical world. But it's going to take we're standing on our heads. It's going to put us back right side up. That is the goal of mitzvos. All I want to add to this is, how can we see this transformation in our own lives? It's so difficult to connect the laws and the mitzvos to this. We're just like lucky if we make it to Shabbos. We're lucky if we buy the right food. You know, we're not thinking in terms of Kedusha, and we're not thinking in terms of the neshama and all this spiritual talk. Where do we see it? How can we be encouraged that we're going to be transformed, that it's really worthwhile to invest ourselves in Torah and mitzvos? I think this is something that I think about myself, and we can think about it ourselves too. And it's important that we don't lose the forest from the trees. We don't just become mitzvah doers, that we become kedusha builders and spiritual builders. So what are some ways, some manifestations of this transformation? And I would say just really two things. One way to know whether your body is on top or your spirit is on top is very simple. As we know, our body is very physical and it's very confined and it's very small. You know, all of 5'5", 150 pounds of me, that's all I am. Our bodies are limited. Our bodies are bounded. It's separate. My body is here, your body is there. It's really not connected. A body is very small, very bounded, and it's very separate. Our spirit isn't. Our spirit's not small. Inside of us, our smallness is bigness. Inside of our separateness is connection. We're not connected on a physical way, but we're connected in a neshama way. I think that perhaps a contemporary way of looking at this, look at ourselves and ask ourselves, are we small or are we big? Do we think of ourselves as just being like in my own little cubicle, my own little world, and kind of like it says in Pirkei Avos, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, and never the twain shall meet? And you're bothering me, and you're in my space, and I don't like what you're doing, and don't talk to me, because I'm just within myself. That's a physical, non-spiritual sign. If you're bigger, if your Torah and your mitzvos enables you to break out of your confines, if you're able to think about another, if you're able to tolerate it when things are not as exactly like you want it, if you're able to learn from other people, that means you're getting big. If you're able to walk into a room filled with other Jews and say, wow, I feel connected. I feel like I'm part of this and they're part of me. you're getting bigger. You're getting spiritual. You're breaking out of your goofness, your goofiness. These are some things, some tangible ways that we can see spirituality, in, if you will, in the flesh. Spirituality in the flesh, because we are flesh. But we can see spirituality coming out as we learn Torah, as we do mitzvot. We can see ourselves getting bigger and getting more connected, both in time and in place. If you feel that your personal time frame is not just from your birthday till the end of 120 years, but you feel that your time experience reaches back to your grandparents in a way which is uplifting, and maybe back further, and you identify with rabbis, the Vilna Gaon, that gives you a thrill when you hear that. You say, that's part of me. Or how about on Pesach, reaching back to the story of the Exodus and feeling, hey, that's me. It's not just history. That's my life. That's where I came from. And we can see ourselves, Mashiach? I want to see Mashiach. And even if I don't see it in my lifetime, I'm still going to be there. That's part of me. We become bigger in time. We become bigger in space. I want to be with other Jews. I don't want to just sit at home. I want to hear their ideas. I don't want to just hear my ideas. This means that we are growing. This means we're going bigger and we're growing more connectedness. This is basic. Mitzvos is the how-to. We cannot get there without following the mitzvos and the halachos. But the goal, and these are real tangible, these are real concepts that we can see and experience and know that it's something real. It's not just about getting the checklist done. This is Kedusha, and I think that we can taste it, we can feel it, and Baruch Hashem, like I heard when I was in New Jersey on Purim night with a gathering, it must have been 2,000 young men, just arm in arm, standing on bleachers because there wasn't enough room on the floor, swaying back and forth to very moving music. And then the rabbi gets up, Rabbi Matisyahu Solomon, and he just says, Ashreinu matov chelkenu, how fortunate we are, how good is our portion, umayofa yirushasenu, how beautiful is our heritage. We should all be singing this because this is what we have in our Kedusha, in our Torah. Shkoach. Carl, let's hear your questions and comments.
Just chronology. I got lost. In other words,
we'll find you.
First, you say is the mitzvah and then the halacha time frame. I know the mitzvah is Torah, Hashem. When was the halacha? Did Moshe make halacha, or was it the great Yeshua, Pinchas, Caleb, etc.?
When Moshe was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, he received everything there was to know. It trickled down to us through what's called the oral tradition, and therefore it comes to us in the form of statements by various rabbis, but it was all chronologically, it was all revealed to Moshe on Mount Sinai. God did not just give a chumash, but he gave the halacha so that we knew exactly how to follow what it says in the Chumash.
Shkoach.